Hey everyone, this is the first episode of Node Mode, the podcast that we are rolling out starring Depeche Node. We're entering Node's world and viewing the NFT space from his lens. We discuss philosophy of NFT collecting, past, present, and future. We discuss art collections like Grails 2 by The Proof Collective, by Kevin Rose, of course. And we discuss generative art, who's doing it in an original way and who's doing it in more of a copycat way. And ultimately, we talk about originality in the art space, both digital art and traditional art. It's a great episode, a lot of fun with Node. As usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Node Mode number one, the new NFT podcast hosted by Depeche Node on the Nifty YouTube channel. As always, nothing in this video is financial advice. We're certainly not financial advisors. The NFT space is insanely risky, so always do your own research. If you enjoy Node's content, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. His job depends on it. So if you want Node to not be on the street, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. And as always, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. If you spend over $200 on a cryptocurrency of your choice, you'll get a $20 bonus in that cryptocurrency deposited into your FTX account. Check out FTX for the cheapest fees in the game and some of the most innovative opportunities for acquiring cryptocurrency assets, and now stocks too, because they have fractional share stocks. Node Mode, Depeche Node. How do you feel, buddy? Your first podcast episode.
Well, thank you for having me on my own show. I really appreciate it. You know, it's so kind of you. No, but I'm excited, man. Like, if you know me, right, we're probably going to talk a little bit more long term, maybe a little bit about art, maybe some philosophical questions. But let's be real, I'm a degen just like anybody else. So super excited to do Node Mode week in, week out with my guy Pio here. So, let's roll, man. We've got a lot to cover today. First thing I want to talk about, though, is an existential question. And okay, maybe I'll throw it straight to you, Pio, because you have a project, and I'm gonna dig straight into the weeds here. So you've got a project, you've got investors, and you've got holders of the NFT, right?
Yep. So what you just said is like, so we have an NFT asset that's in our ecosystem, right? That's the Nifty portal. That's what you're talking about.
Correct.
We're a Web3 media company, right? So we're a Web3 startup business. We're venture backed. And so we have investors. You just said investors, right? So those are the people that invested in our seed round, right? Gave us money in exchange for equity. And then we have holders of our NFT. So the people that bought and are now holding the NFT. That's just to give everybody very clear understanding of everything that you just said.
100%. Yeah. So there's the context. Now, somebody that buys the Nifty portal, the NFT, do they have equity in your company?
No, they don't.
Good. Yeah. I just want that to be very clear.
What do you
right?
mean,
I
good?
A lot of people. No, I'm just saying it's so many people get that mistaken across NFTs in general. Right. So it's like, I buy a doodle. I think, oh, I'm like an owner in this brand. It's like, well, you own an asset that the brand owns, but they might become successful without accruing value to your token, right? To your NFT.
I think that the idea is that crossover success of a Web3 brand does result in price appreciation on the digital asset that's issued by the brand. Like when you look at the equity of the business, you know, our business that is like registered in the state of New York, right? Just like Robinhood, the publicly traded company at one point was registered in Northern California as a business, and people that invested in the Robinhood seed round got shares, right? To be an investor in a business is not the same thing as being a holder of an NFT. Sergito was on our morning show yesterday, and he referenced Proof specifically and Moonbirds within the Proof ecosystem specifically. Because I think a lot of people that bought Moonbirds did feel as if they had like shares in this Web3 business. But the bottom line is that's not how it works, but that's not like a bad thing. And by the way, like, do you really want shares in the actual bit? Like, do you actually want equity in the business? Because that's like, it's not liquid, buddy. Like, whoever you are, I just want to make sure you guys understand, like, if you invest in the seed round of a business, I just invested in the seed round of a business for the first time. So I don't think I'm allowed to, like, disclose it yet. Every time, like, shout out to Spencer. Spencer tells me all the rules with this shit because I just speak out of line constantly, literally with a microphone in my face, recorded and then uploaded to multiple platforms, okay? And so Spencer keeps me in line, but apparently I'm not supposed to say the name of it until the funding round officially closes. But the only way I'll ever see, I put $5,000 in. So, whoa, yeah, we got a whale, ladies and gentlemen. He put $5,000 in, he's a whale. The only way that I'm ever going to see any money back from that is if there's some kind of exit on that, through that company. So if the company goes public or if the company gets acquired. Yes, there are technically other ways that you could get some kind of return, but they'd be very specific situations. And just think about that. That's just like, do you want that? Who the hell knows when the company's going to get an exit? And if they are, like 90%+ of startups actually fail, right? They don't get the exit. So that's like my message to anybody that's like sort of investing in these NFT projects and maybe framing it as having ownership in a business. You don't, but that does that. It's actually like kind of better. Think about it. If you just bought, like if you invested in a seed round of Proof versus just buying the Proof Pass or buying a Moonbird for mint price, like you did way better with the Moonbird because you could have just sold it immediately for like a 10x, whereas there just wasn't a liquidity event for the investors in the seed round. I don't even think they had a seed round, but I'm just using it as an example. You're not going to get that liquidity event for so long. We can look up what year Robinhood was founded versus when they IPO'd. They IPO'd last year. So the people that were in their seed round had to wait a long ass time. They got a 600x, which is obviously really good. But,
I mean, that's okay, you know.
But that's a unicorn situation.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think that's a really good point you brought up. I remember talking to you and you were like, well, if you get the NFT, then you can trade that. It's fully liquid, right? It's like it's tradable at any point in time, which is great. But I think it's just good for people to think about a little bit about, okay, who does this company need to report to? And, you know, what are their goals and how are they driving value to all the different assets in the ecosystem? I just think it's a good thought exercise because I think it was Sergito the other day talking about that, right? And he was saying, you know, like when you buy an NFT, just remember, you're not buying a share in a company. You don't own it, right? Like there is no ownership. You have no say. And we've learned that the hard way in a few different projects now of understanding what a company can and can't do. We simply own their NFT and that's it. So it's just an asset and ecosystem. I just thought it was an interesting question to think about, you know, as an NFT holder now that we're like slowly maturing as an industry, you know?
Yeah. Like I had a great conversation with somebody today that is the founder of a project that just raised funding, right? So like he's the founder. He's not the founder of a project. He's the founder of a Web3 business. You are going to hear me beat this drum like incessantly for the next like however many months, which is I'm interested in Web3 companies, like Web3 businesses. I am not interested in NFT projects. If you tell me you got like this NFT project, I'm gonna be like, get the hell out of here. If you tell me you got a Web3 company, a Web3 business, and you have an NFT collection that you're putting out, okay, I'm interested in that. But he was talking about NFT 1.0 versus NFT 2.0. So we just got out of NFT 1.0. NFT 1.0 was like crazy price appreciation, tens of thousands of projects that all basically were the same thing, wild speculation, massive sums of liquidity being deployed into the same shit without any due diligence. And it's just never going to be like that again. It's just not. But the cool thing about NFT 2.0, which is where we're at, is that it's filled with innovation and actual utility. We just aren't seeing it yet, but right now is the beginning of it. Right now is you're starting to see innovation and utility like the very, very, very beginning of it, the bedrock, the ground level. And a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we'll look back at this and be like, oh shit, we came out of a speculative mania bubble that was literally the biggest bubble that retail investors probably have ever seen. literally. And it, what happened was everyone got wrecked. Everyone left. Everyone thought NFTs were done. They were dead, blah, blah, blah. But that was when the innovation began. And then the actual innovation started to kick in and real actual utility. Because remember, there's no utility right now, like literally none. The real utility started to form and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And then we'll get to a better place as a result.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's why I've been slowly kind of re-engaging on the art side of things, right? Because I feel like the art, if you're just looking at art is utility, right? Like that is the utility, is what you see is literally what you get. There's utility in just the fact that you like owning like one, a beautiful piece of art that you can enjoy, right? And so on that note, I feel like we ought to sweep. Did I take my school picture today? today is the first day of school, actually. And look, today is the first day of node mode. Kids are in school right now? Yes. Yes. It was my kids' first day of school. I swear they're shortening it. It used to be 3 months, right? Summer break. Now it's two. I dead serious. It's like 2 months, dude.
So
they're ripping these children off.
They learn less and they spend more time there.
Yeah, we make sure we get out of the house. You know, we go on vacation whenever we want. That, you know, school can take a backseat if needed. But yeah, today's first day of school, and it's day one of node mode. So I dressed up. You may not see me in the suit every day, but today was special. So I wanted to show you how serious I am. And I just wanted to look okay. You know what I mean? I even grew out a mustache for the first time in like a year. So
I mean, the suit is an elite look. I literally haven't put a suit on since pre-COVID, I think. I almost was going to have to go to a wedding, but I blew my Achilles up and couldn't get on a plane as a result. I wasn't mobile. But I feel like once we start seeing NFT people sporting suits, people are going to be like, because we're just wearing t-shirts all the time, you know?
Yeah, this is just fun. You know, you don't, not every day you see an NFT guy in a suit. So I just figured let's try something new. Yeah. Yes. Yes. My guy Miho in the chat, also known as Michael. I do own this myself. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Oh man, I'm just getting showered with mustache compliments. This is great. Yeah.
We got Anthony. You got Anthony's approval here.
He's
a tough guy to please. Let me tell you, you got Anthony giving you a thumbs up. That's like a real thumbs up right there. You know?
Thank you, my guy, Anthony. Yeah. We'll keep it real here. So I want to switch gears. I want to talk about, Grails 2.
Let's do it.
Because that's more in line with, you know, the art and what's going on. It's something that's happening right now. What are, before we get into the art side of thing, what's your thought, Pio, on editions?
So I have a lot of thoughts on this stuff. Until you need demand, like everyone knows supply and demand. You need demand that is in line with supply. So I think that if there's a ton of demand for a Fidenza and there's only 1,000 Fidenzas, that's when you see a crazy price tag on Fidenzas, right?
Right.
We learned through Nifty Gateway early 2021 that supply and demand are directly correlated because artists and creators started going on Nifty Gateway and basically trying to sell as many open editions as possible, right? That was what happened on that platform at that time. It was profitable for the artist, right? They were literally, you saw some drops where it was like a $2,000 mint and they would do an open edition and try to hype it up as much as possible. And they would sell like 1,000 of them. And it was like, holy shit, that artist just came through and made $2 million. Like that was crazy. That was crazy for an artist, right? And like that had never happened before. And obviously incredibly talented artists were dropping on Nifty Gateway. But at the same time, a big part of that was just the centralized platform Nifty Gateway being the only platform that NFT buyers could use to buy NFTs at that time. Because Nifty Gateway did such a good job of onboarding people that weren't crypto native like myself. I was Bitcoin native, but not crypto native. I didn't have a MetaMask wallet. And you could use a credit card to just buy these things. And it was the only place to do it. So there was like a limited supply of stuff that you could speculate on. Obviously, at this point, there's infinite shit that you can speculate on. It's totally different. So when I look at editions, I think that if there is demand for the artist's work, And then you have to look at how many editions there are. And there's a balance that an artist needs to find to figure out what is an appropriate amount of editions for them to put out so that collectors are pleased because the price either holds or it goes up. And the market is able to, like, you know, kind of sustain the amount of editions that they put out. I have a lot of question marks about Proof Grails because I kind of feel like the chart might just look like this over the long term. That's what I'm worried about, is that the price chart looks like this over the long term. And it's not good for Proof. It's not good for holders of the assets, and it's not good for the artists. So that's my concern.
Yeah, I think that's it's a valid take. And that's why I asked, because I love what they're doing, right? I think it's super cool. They have, how many of these are there? There's like maybe 20 something, but there's a lot of like really cool pieces here. You know what I mean? Like a lot of really great art pieces, but it's not up to the artist at this point, right? As to how many editions are actually minted. So I always wonder like how he arranged the payment between Proof and the artist, right? Like it must just be a commissioned piece is going to be my guess, because they're just going to pay the artist to create this work and tell them, hey, we don't know how many editions will be made because we're leaving it up to the Proof ecosystem to decide, right? They get to decide. So if you're unfamiliar, just taking a step back, right? So Proof, the Grails collection, every Proof member gets a Grails 2 mint pass. And then right now, any Moonbird that has a little Grail above its head also gets a Grails mint pass. And they all get to decide which one they want to mint. So they get to choose between all these artists. And there's a little, obviously, a lot of game theory involved, right? Like there's a game to be played, because if everybody likes the same artist, you end up with an edition of 1,000, right? Which do you know of an edition that's over 1,000 that has held a reasonable amount of value? Not really. I can't think of one.
None of the art blocks are over 1,000.
Well, those aren't editions, right? Those are one-of-ones.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They're in part of the same collections, but they're all unique. And that's the challenge with this drop, right? They're all the same. So, but at the end of the day, if everybody goes after one piece, right? Like everyone, this piece right here, Grail number 2, this is Grant Yun for sure, right? Like they don't tell you the artist, but like unmistakably, this is Grant Yun. It has to be. If it's not, everyone would freak out because it's a perfect carbon copy of his work, right? So he is probably one of the up and coming hottest artists right now.
He's the name that you hear over the past 2 weeks. That's
yep,
for sure.
Exactly. That one right there, Grail 17. I think that's Emily Z, like the Memories of Keelin artist.
So dope.
Looks so good, right? I love it. And that's why I'm like, that's gotta be her. And maybe I'm wrong, but I really think it's awesome, but it's kind of fun. I like the game that they're playing, right? They can see how many are minted, but everybody's waiting until the last minute, because there's over a thousand that need to be minted. And these numbers, if you look at what's minted so far, they're not adding up to even close to 1,000. They have like 5 more days. So I think it's an interesting dilemma. And I think this is amazing. I think it's a really cool thing to do as a project or as a business, you know, releasing this collection and giving it to your holders. You're getting pieces of work. But at the end of the day, like I'm with you. It's like, what happens when everything's an addition of 100 or more? Like personally, I'm trying to collect, if I do collect an edition, people are guessing this is Tom Sachs, by the way, this Grail number
this
1.
This is Tom Sachs?
They think that it's Tom Sachs. Yeah.
He just does traditional photography like that?
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like some people just, Dimitri did a photo piece in the last one, Dimitri Cherniak. Mm. So maybe that's what it's about. But I mean, for me personally, I don't want to do anything with a large edition myself anymore.
You know who this is, right?
No idea. Who is it?
Rafik Anadol.
Oh, yeah.
There's a 100% probability that that's Rafik Anadol. And there's 12 on this one, which is one of the top ones. Is this Alien Queen? No.
No idea. I mean, that's what's kind of fun, right? You look, there's actually a doc. There's a bunch of people in the Proof ecosystem have put together a doc. And I think they've basically guessed with a high degree of certainty as to who most of these artists are. But again, I like everything about the drop, other than the fact that like, I personally only want to own something with an edition of less than 10, maybe at this point. If it's more than 10, I literally am going to buy it just to support the artist, maybe more than 25, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know what that number is, but to me, it's got to be low if you want to accrue a lot of value.
Yeah, and you're making that statement based on the current state of affairs in the market, right? And the current sure. level of demand for these artists. That's what people have to understand. If demand goes up, edition size can go up. It's fine. It's totally fine. Because, like, for example, Degas, who is was a Spanish artist, you know, I don't know what years. I think he died in like 1896 or something. So he was like, he was done painting by before 1900. He was prolific as hell. You know, he was like smashing paintings, right? But he's Degas. So like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like his supply could have been another 500. It doesn't matter. Like the scarcity, once you're Degas, once you're Picasso, it doesn't matter. The like no one's going to be like, wow, you know, I really wish Monet, this is from the Price of Everything documentary. He's like, yeah, I really wish Monet had done like 800 less paintings. It's not how collectors think. It's not how it is, right? But given the state of the market now, only people in the crypto world and then specific fans of Grant Yun know who Grant Yun is. It's not like you can go walk down the street and ask someone, hey, do you know Grant Yun? No, it's just not how it works. It's not mainstream like that. But if an artist gets to that point, and like my money would probably be on like Fawocious to get to that point out of all the NFT artists, right? I think Fawocious is probably one that I would put my money on to actually get to proper mainstream full tilt, like cover of Rolling Stone magazine type of level. And then all of a sudden the editions of Fawocious, like for example, Victor and Victoria, which I believe does have over 1,000 editions, can run, right? And so when I look at this, you know, you're right about the edition count. If you do the average, because there's 25 of these and there's what, 1,000 proof passes. So there's going to be 40 of each of these, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
40.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of them will have more, some of them will have less. That is still a lot. But what I do like is I like that they didn't disclose who the artist is. And you play that little guessing game, even though some are more obvious than others, like Grant Yun, Anadol, and this one that you just pointed out. What's her name again?
Yeah, Emily Xiez, I'm guessing is the way you say it, but
yep.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And I like that the artists definitely got paid. So they're like, all right, cool, we got paid. And I like the fact that, you know, this is a way for Kevin Rose to kind of anoint these artists. He's kind of blessing these artists. He's sort of like Christie's in this situation in many ways. So I think we're going to see more of that. I think the part that's going to get ironed out is to do it in a way so the chart doesn't look like this. That's the biggest thing, is going to be to figure out how to make the chart not look like that.
Yeah, I agree. I was mistaken earlier in thinking, yeah, like there's going to be hundreds. You're right. Like, I forgot there was over 25 of these pictures. So that's actually these, you know, these NFTs, this art. So that, you know, an edition size of 40 is not bad. Like, and so if you play the game right, the problem is everybody knows, you know, like if everybody likes the same piece, they're all going to mint the same piece. So it's fun. I think it's really cool, but I'm with you. I'm curious to see how these things hold value with an average edition size, right, of 40, right? And so maybe some, if everybody likes that Grant Yun piece, you've got an edition of 250, and then another random artist has an edition of 5. And it actually, the price, you know, the price of the 250 edition piece for Grant Yun might end up being still worth more than that other one with a 5 edition, just because nobody cares about the other artist. Right. But yeah, I think this is a cool thing that they're doing. I like the, you know, the concept. I like the innovation. I like that he's trying to push forward art, which I think is great, and support the artists. But yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, how this all ends up after the next few days.
Absolutely. And I want to correct myself so I don't sound like a complete idiot. Degas is French, not Spanish. I don't know why I thought he was like Spanish. And he died in 1917. So I wasn't that far off with when he was active. All right. Node Mode covered Grails 2. What's next, Node?
I want to learn more about Grant Yun. I want to look at more of his stuff. So
let's do it.
I'm going to be honest. Like, Grant Yun, this is a classic example, and same thing happened to me with so many pieces of art in the space. But I remember seeing his work months and months ago and not even really noticing it, right? Like, I saw it pop up on Twitter, just kept scrolling. Like, there's another artist, right? And now, of course, that it's taking off, I'm like, oh my goodness, look at this
FOMO
art,
in.
Dude. Like, I'm like, look at this art. Oh, this is so beautiful, you know? But like, I really do. I appreciate it, and I appreciate what he's doing. And the more you look at it, the more you do kind of appreciate a lot of his work. And I don't know, like, it just, there's like a, it has this very like nostalgic, and obviously it's got this simple and clean feel, right? And it's the one thing, and I always go back to this. Look, me being, I'm not some sophisticated art guy yet, you know, give me a few years, maybe I'll break my way in. But like, when an artist's work, the instant you see it, you know who it is, right? I think that is a powerful thing, especially obviously it's got to be good. And Grant Yun, I think, is a phenomenal example of this. You look at his stuff, you're like, okay, that's definitely his piece, right? Like, and so I don't know, like the cool part about his story is he was kind of unknown, under the radar. None of his work was selling for like over an ETH maybe. And then VVD bought it and started pushing it. And so Vincent Van Doe, I think, is the one kind of responsible for putting this guy on the map. And you kind of, it's kind of helping me to learn more and more about the art industry, right? You're like, okay, somebody at some point as an artist, somebody influential needs to bless you. You know what I mean? They need to anoint you.
It's how it works.
And then that's how it works, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Were you finished with your thoughts?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just saying, yeah, I was letting you take it. But for me, I was like, yeah, that's how it seems to work, right? Like you need some kind of big player to take it over. And it's just so funny. When I look at this, I'm like, yeah, I really like this art now. You know what I mean? And how much of it is because all these other people like looked at it and said, oh yeah, this is worth more, right? And you know what, that the cliche is kind of true, you know, as the price goes up, the art gets more beautiful. But I'm like, I don't know, over time, these pieces work on you slowly but surely.
So I like my man, Grant Yun. I love seeing a young artist start popping up and getting, you know, getting love from VVD and others. So look, oh man, this is like really hard, but actually people are going to get less mad about what I'm about to say, you know, compared to when we call out like NFT collections that have bag holders, like a 10,000 piece collection, you know, when we say that Aliens wasn't going to go to an ETH and a half, or when Nick says what he says about Rare A Pepe Yacht Club and blah, blah, blah. That's actually when you get the real hate mail.
And everybody dumps the portals. Yeah. You gotta be careful, dude.
But anyway, you know, my thing with art, and maybe this comes from my mom, who's like obsessed with art history and like knows basically everything about art from a historical perspective. Not like she's not like, you know, like Picasso, obviously, but I mean, like just knowing like the history of it is I'm really big on like originality. And this Sunday, I'm going to be going to the Basquiat exhibit, the exhibition here in Manhattan.
Oh, look at you. Fancy, fancy.
Dude, this is a good one. I mean, this is a kind of a side, since we're talking about art, might as well talk about it.
It's just what P.O. does. He likes to go to these events in his time, ladies. So just so you're aware, he strolls the galleries, you know, and these big events on the weekends. So well, yes, continue.
Well, my mom's going to be in town. And so I was like, all right, well, do you want to go to like a museum or something? Because she loves that. And she was like, well, is there a Basquiat exhibit anywhere? And because we saw Basquiat at Museum of Fine Arts a couple of years ago, saw 14 pieces. Then they had like 9 or 10 pieces that I saw at Christie's during the first NFT NYC that we went to. Including one knockout, like, you know, 16 foot by 12 foot canvas where you're just like shattered. Like, I really couldn't recommend it more. If you're looking to see something, I know that he's like the big name right now. I bet like the art snobs would be like, oh, you're just like into this because he's been like the biggest artist of the past 5 years. But it's so original. It doesn't look like, you can't say his stuff looks like anybody else's stuff at all. And when you see it in person, you just get knocked on your ass because like there was one like 14 foot tall piece that was a bunch of planks of wood that he put together and he painted on. It's completely nuts. And this Sunday we're seeing one with 200 pieces from his estate. It's not even at a musician, at a museum. It's literally like a specific exhibit that's just him, 200 plus pieces. I'm only bringing him up because he's so original, and that's a big reason why he's so important in my opinion, right? And even in the traditional art world, like when we watch those documentaries we've been talking about recently, I see Kondo. You know, Kondo's like doing cubism. Like, it is Picasso's style. So I'm just kind of like, I mean, you're kind of doing Picasso's style. Again, I'm sure an art snob would kill me because it's Kondo and he's like a darling of the art market. So my thing is with Grant Yun, he's basically doing Hockney and Hopper only digital. So don't kill me, Grant Yun fans. I like it a lot. Look at the painting that I have. This is the Grant Yun piece that I have right here. What does it look like? Does it look like this?
Yeah.
So I'm going to get killed by the art people here. Grant Yun's not my friend anymore, I guess. But, but I'm just like, you know, there is like inspiration there that is pretty clear. I mean, A Bigger Splash is a really famous painting, and that's the one that, you know, I think that you're seeing the inspiration from there.
Yeah, for sure.
And then when I look at stuff like this, like, I'm pretty sure if I Google, like, Edward Hopper Cafe or Edward Hopper Truck Stop, let me see, I could definitely Google Edward Hopper Gas Station, and that's going to, it's going to come up. But this is the digital version. It's pretty cool, and I hope that we see a lot of like original stuff from Grant Yun, you know, moving forward. I mean, look, it's not identical and it is digital and I really like it. So all those things are there. Man, I'm like hot right now that I'm even doing this. I don't like talking about artists. I'm physically hot right now.
This is great. Let's get Grant on the show, you know, and just have him go back and forth with you. But no, I mean, I agree. And I think it's totally great to take inspiration from the past. And maybe that's part of why people like this, right? Is he's taking inspiration from other things. Of course, you know, a realist kind of style or whatever. I believe I read somewhere neo-precisionism. I don't even know what that means, but it was in an article.
That's a good word.
Yeah, I was like, that was a cool word. I think it was in like a Hypebeast article. I was like, I'm going to use that word. I don't even know what it means. His neo-precision is...
That's a good word.
Neo-precisionistic style is phenomenal. But like the nice part is he has made it his own though. You know what I mean? Like you can see his distinct, obviously, this digital style here. It is very, very recognizable. So I just think I think it's cool. I love that we've found another artist that we like, right? And that's growing in this space. And I hope we keep seeing more of them, you know?
Yeah. This is Ed, I don't know how to pronounce this artist named Rusha Ruska, and people are citing this as an inspiration. Look, it's fine. In the NFT space, a sizable percentage of the artists in the space imitate three artists. Node, who are the three artists that you think I'm going to say? Audience members in the comments, there's three artists that come to mind right away. I see Anthony's throwing out Hockney Bigger Splash, so me and Anthony are on the same page. Sometimes me and Anthony are like this, you know, we're really
today,
like going
today
at each
we're
other.
All, today, Anthony's he's being friendly today for
good.
The first episode of Node Mode. I appreciate that, Anthony.
It must be you. He likes you. But I like seeing Anthony know his stuff and being like calm in the comments today. But anyway, who are the three artists that get imitated by NFT artists the most? And Node, you can go to. Who are the three, in my opinion?
Nope, I'm not even going to comment. I want to see what the audience thinks. This is, I mean, the one thing I do think is, you know, in terms of NFT artists, you got Xcopy, and like, I feel like
Xcopy's
a lot of...
Xcopy's totally original. Totally original.
That's why I love it, right? You've got a lot of people copying Xcopy now, right? Like, he's the one that they're getting inspiration from, which is what I love about, you know, about Xcopy. It's
for that reason, Xcopy is the same as Picasso to me. Like, in all seriousness, like, totally original, dude. Like, Xcopy is important. He's straight up important. Like, no joke. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this guy is important. He is the same thing. I mean, in many ways, Fidenza's very original too. Like, what's Fidenza, man? What's Fidenza?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Ringers looks like Mondrian, right?
Ringers looks like Ringers, dog. I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Ringer. Obviously, look, everyone, you probably know I own one Ringer, so I'm always going to defend it to the death, right? But like, the beautiful part about a Ringer is, I mean, it is so simplistic and so reminiscent of a string around pegs that you feel like you've seen this before. And I'm sure there's lots of other art that it's very similar to. But the beautiful part about the gen art stuff, right, is that they built all the, like, the art is actually, the output is cool, obviously, that it has to be. It has to be appealing and draw you in and feel thematic and everything. But, like, the actual artistic part is their code. You know what I mean? It's, like, the fact that they have written this code, that's the art process. You know what I mean? And so... And like the randomization is so cool. So that's why I think generative art has a place, you know, because it's the output is one thing. Being able to create beautiful outputs is one thing. And the creation process behind it is so unique and different than, you know, even digital regular art where they're drawing it on an iPad, right? Or using a paintbrush. It's like, this is so different. And they're still able to create something beautiful with literally lines of code, which I think is awesome.
Beautifully said, Node. My gears are just turning while we're on the show. XCopy is one of the most important artists in the NFT space, if not the most important. I think you can make a case for Beeple being, because he's so original. Like, who the hell is making art like Beeple? I know it's weird and crazy, but like, who cares? Like, it's...
I'll take the other side of that. For whatever reason, dude, I just think Beeple feels like I better be careful. I really admire Beeple, obviously. Done such amazing work. But wasn't it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all this on Jesse, on our guy, Jesse from the show, you know, he was like, it's like a cartoonist in a newspaper or something, right? Like trying to do these crazy political things. I think his art is cool, but I don't see it as transformational personally, right? Like I just don't, but I've never been a fan, right? Like obviously a lot of the subject matter is like crazy and like, you know, not suitable for work kind of thing. Like, and so it's like, when I look at a lot of pieces, like I'd be proud to hang them on my wall. Like I wouldn't really be stoked to hang much of Beeple's stuff on my wall, to be totally honest. And it's simply some of the subject matter. He's trying to be a little bit outrageous, right? He's trying to push the boundaries here, but I'm like, out of all of his works, there's probably like five that I'd be like, oh, that one's really cool. I'll put it on my wall. But that's just me. Like, I think he's phenomenal, but it's just not my personal style.
Yeah, look, he's polarizing. People in the audience are getting pissed that I even brought him up. That's like a big indicator that it's good, right? And the fact that it's original is original. How would it not be original, right? That's the thing, is how would the Beeples not be original? You got to say they're original. And thus, I think it fits the bill. XCopy is my, like, aesthetic-wise, I liked XCopy the second I saw it. The Guzzler drop, like XCopy is sick. It's, oh my God, it's so good. Anyway, back to what I said. We had one audience member guess two out of the three. Picasso, Basquiat. Give me one more note. Who's the third one that gets copied the most?
I have no idea.
Herring.
Okay. Herring. Okay.
So
okay.
Basquiat and Herring are from the 80s. They're from the same graduating class of art. Unfortunately, they both died very, very young. And then Picasso's Picasso, obviously. In my opinion, those are the three most imitated artists in the NFT space. Wouldn't be surprised if they're the most imitated artists in the traditional art world, too. Kind of, I think you can make a case for that, for sure. But in the NFT space, every once in a while, dude, you'll see someone imitate two out of the three in the same piece. That's when you're really going hard. It's like, you're just like, nah, this is like a Basquiat and a Picasso in one piece, or this is a Keith Haring and a Picasso in one piece. And then I'm like, oh, wow, this guy really sends it, imitates him. Okay. Anything else? This is your, people are saying Van Gogh. I don't feel like Van Gogh is imitated that much in the NFT space, but I'm blanking on NFT artists that imitate Van Gogh. I don't know, but.
I don't know. I mean, I'm happy though that we ended up here on XCopy. Like, I think that's great. Like, the thing I love about XCopy's work too is like, you could just like show it to anybody in the real world. They'd be like, what? You know, like, oh, you know, like it would get a reaction out of them no matter what, which I love. I think it's like, it's just like provocative. You know, you see it and some people are like, what? You know, some people would hate it, obviously. But like, for all of us degens, like, this just, we love it. Like, if you don't, I feel bad for you, man. Like, cause his art it's just fire. So I think Banksy maybe has a little bit of inspiration, you know, behind a lot of the,
people
he'd be a
definitely.
Phenomenal. I wonder, you know, he'd be a phenomenal NFT artist, right? Like all the crazy stuff he could do. And maybe he is, right? There's plenty of conspiracy theories out there, for sure.
He's original.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Banksy is for sure original. His stuff is legit. But okay. So we've definitely gone down the art rabbit hole. I think beware. We'll probably do this again from time to time on the show.
Well, I like it.
I love it. So yeah, hopefully everybody else does too. I think one thing I'd like to do to wrap up is maybe just talk about some of the moves I'm considering.
Okay, so and real quick note, I just want to shout out Joey Bada Boom. When I said who are the three artists that could copy the most, I forgot to mention this. He goes Dylon, Dylon, and Dylon. That's for all you Chappelle Show fans out there. If you know, like, I don't know, I got a big kick out of that. I wanted to make sure Joey Bada Boom knew that I thought that was funny. Anyway, sorry, note. Go ahead and continue.
Sure. So, I mean, I wanted to wrap up it, maybe just talking about some of the moves I'm thinking of making or that I'm actually making in the NFT space to keep things above board, you know, just let people get into my mind. So what I'm doing right now is putting out Weath bids and offers on pieces and
on art pieces.
I'm doing one. There's our Pixelmon, dude. Every time, man, we can't get away. So in terms of the art, I've got an offer in on a Meridian. So the Meridians I've got an offer in on, I've got an offer in on, and I don't know, like in terms of all the floor prices, maybe up a touch. Okay. So that one, that's second row, second to the left.
I like this one. Look at that thing.
Oh, you like the simple one. Okay. I like that one too. There's one that's kind of super colorful. It's that, the one right there. Yeah. It's like red, white, and blue almost. Mm. That's the one I've got an offer on in right now. I just think it looks great. My strategy is to go at like look, get pieces that I really like and see if they'll sell it to me at floor. I don't know if they will, but I've got one in on that one. I've got another one in on Memories of Keelin. 10 years. Dude, what do you think I'm doing this YouTube show for, dude? So I can, you know, keep getting that little income so I can just save money and hold this art for the next decade, man.
It's so cool. No, doesn't need his money for like 10 years. By the way,
genius comment and very well said. Like, that's really how you need to think. That's definitely how my idol DC thinks. He's like, yeah, I just think in decades. I'm like, wow, that, like, what a luxury. For sure. I recognize that. And for art in particular, I would definitely try and think of it on a longer term, like not longer time frame. Absolutely. So I got an offer in on this. I got an offer in on another Memories of Keelin. I think that's the most beautiful collection, aesthetically pleasing, of all the art blocks curated that are out there. I love her work. I only have one. And so I want to pick up some more if I can. I've got an offer in on a Clonex as well. So I've got a few
different, yeah, a few different, how do you guys spell
memories? Oh yeah. It's Memories of Q-I-L-I-N. I kind of think it's Keelin, but like I heard Zeneca say Keelin, and so maybe he's right.
This one these slaps. Pieces,
all of them, dude, they all just look so like awesome and unique. And they, you know what they make you want to do? They make you want to collect them in like a set of three. So you could put them like as like a triptych and have, you know, three right there, maybe all the same color, or maybe you have like a centerpiece color, and then the two on the outside are kind of the same color palettes, but different, but they all kind of work together. This collection is the one out of all of them that I really want to own multiple pieces of.
I like it, man. What's the recent art block that slaps so hard? What's it called?
What do you mean the recent one?
There was a recent one that was sick.
I don't know. Like there was one, there was a recent one that people did not like, which was the word one. You know,
no,
that
not
that.
Yet. I mean, I'm not bringing that one.
I brought that one up on the show once to be like, hey, what does everybody think about this? Cause I can't quite, you know, get behind. There it is. Be disrespectful to one another. That was the one.
I don't care.
Man,
about
that
one
struggled. Not you like Running Moon was good. I like that one.
What was the first GM DAO one?
Oh, that was Factura. Factura was good.
Slaps. But, man,
I'm gonna throw out Brinkman's take on GM DAO. Hopefully he doesn't mind. We did this. He told us in the Discord, but like GM DAO to me, like most of their stuff looks good, but they're kind of it almost seems like it's playing it safe. Like if you look at all of the works, like Factura, reminiscent of Archetype, one right, like the one that's in the banner, I forget the name, reminiscent of Fidenza. Like they have another piece reminiscent of Ringers. So they all, they look like super similar to me in terms of like the, they're kind of like doing what's sort of been done before and putting their own twist on it. And so I do think Factura, it does, if anyone gets mad, I think it does like look unique, right? But it's still, I mean, looks very much like Archetype if you ask me, in my opinion, by Shetil Golid. But like,
okay.
Yeah. So a lot of their pieces are good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see if we can find the, find the other ones. So
this Factura. Is Factura.
This is their initial one. Maybe go to the artist. Oh, now you're going into like the wiki, dude. Good luck with that, dude.
Yeah, good God.
That's disgusting. Oh, gross.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Too many words. There it is. See, this one I like, but it's like, that reminds me of several AB curated pieces that have already come out. Pigments. It reminds me of Pigments.
You know your AB pretty well. I'm going to pull up Pigments in a different one so that we can really quick pull it up. 1 second. Pigments. Wow, you're so right. You're so right, Node. So check it out. Look at this, right? And then check this out. Yo, come on, man.
That's my only gripe. I know, dude. That's the thing. I think, look, I want GM DAO to succeed, right? But I totally agree with Lord Sir Brinkman. You know, he was just like, they just seem to be playing it ultra safe. They're making stuff that looks like that's similar to what else has been created, you know? So I'm like,
look at this one.
What ArtBlox is doing, you know? They're trying to be original every time, you know?
What is this, Meridians or what? No, so not Meridian. What's this one called on ArtBlox?
Archetype, the one, that they get inspiration from, Archetypes.
Oh, man.
And Archetype has a look, and here's your difference, right? People that are looking at Factura and saying, hey, this is the next big thing. It's now at 0.94. Look at Archetype. It's at, like a 25 ETH floor or something, 24, you know, like the originals I want to go after the original stuff. This right here, this is my least favorite one. I don't even feel bad about saying it. This is just feels like a direct ripoff of a Fidenza, and it's not even as good looking. And yeah, sorry, I apologize. Look, I know. Yeah, Fidenza with with pasta, dude, the Italian take. I hope we just don't get roasted. This is turning into like an art critic show, and it's like, you know what? I highly respect any artist that's out there, especially generative artists that are doing things I could never even dream of. Like, I'm not qualified. But look, like, when it comes to the actual output, we are going to be honest in our opinion and let you know what we think. And this one, to me, is the most egregious of them all. I'm like, this one just, I don't know. I don't like it, but...
All right. So first of all, the sad part is we're going to get attacked less over this than if we just said, I don't think that this free mint bullshit that came out last week is going to go to 2 ETH. Because when you say that, people are like, you know what I mean? They're like, this is my big chance. I got this for free. And 1 ETH isn't good enough for me to sell it at. It's like, dude, like, you've been a little unreasonable. Go make your $2,000 for something that you got for free. Come on now. And that's a problem. People need to care about our us being disrespectful to art projects more than saying that stuff. Although I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just pointing out original stuff. Can I show you an artist that I think is absolutely incredible who I own IRL work from because he was selling he was selling this stuff on Bedford Ave in Williamsburg. I bought it off of him circa 2019, 2020. I like saying circa because it makes it feel like
if it's pre-COVID, it's ancient history, ladies and gentlemen. So let's look at it. Anything pre-COVID is like, you know, BC days. So let's see what you got for us.
Yo, look at my man, Dog Poe. What if I told you that all of his work is either film or get this Polaroid?
Really?
Yo, so people, and I reached out to him in February, March, 2021, you know, because I was a collector. We had a relationship because I was a collector.
Indeed.
And I said, yo, you got to do this stuff as NFTs. And he was like, and he saw the sales, like the volume and the numbers of money. And he like literally wrote back with like a smiley face and heart eyes. And he was like, yeah, I want to. How do I do it? And I was like a week into the NFT space. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know, but you got to do it. And he just never did it, you know?
Didn't quite figure it out. Oh. He's a photographer. Wait, and you're saying all of his pieces are film?
Polaroid.
Or how? Like, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this and saying, like, how?
Let me hit you with a... excuse me? This is he put hashtag Polaroid on this one. If anybody's ever used a Polaroid camera, then you have to appreciate, I have no concept of how you use a Polaroid camera to create this? How does this come out of a Polaroid camera? Please enlighten me.
Dude, this guy, that piece is beautiful too. Like, and it is, I want it. Dude, that's the, we got to reach back out, dude. Let's get him back into the game. Like, photography, this is world-class in my opinion, you know? Like, it just seems like world-class photography that is obviously art, dude. Let's connect him with Aversano, the biggest hustler in the game, man. Figure that out.
I mean, my guy is a problem, and he is from Tibet, and he lived, last I checked, he was living in Florence, living in Italy. What a badass.
Oh, the heart. Yeah, just like wandering around being like, oh yeah, I'm going to go check out the history here. Oh, that's sick. Yeah.
What are these? Cool. Like, what this guy? How do you make this? Like, it's so crazy that these are Polaroids.
Is this him right there? Is that a self-portrait?
No, that's not him. He's a really cool looking guy with long hair. We can pull some self-portraits up. But I have one of these Polaroids of the bird, and it's so sick. I also have a crazy Polaroid that he took in Southern. I mean, dude, look at these. Look at that. Like,
oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
You want to talk about playing with light, all you photographers out there. This is what a master looks like. When I bought the stuff off of him in 2019 or 2020, he said he had been doing photography for 8 years. I was like, that's not that long. Like, I don't really understand how you're so good. Look at this one. Like, excuse me?
What? Man, I like this stuff. Dude, well done on shilling your IRL art, dude. This is great, man. We're not allowed no shilling, guys, unless it's in real life art, okay? So this is the rule of the Node Mode show. No shilling unless it's IRL. And, you know, hey, if this happens to turn into, you know, into our world and NFTs, so be it. But I like this, dude. This is great. Look at you, Pioke, like going deep down into the art space. This is awesome. I mean, clearly, people in the Nifty like think I'm the art guy. No, man. Pio is the art guy, everyone. Pio is the art guy. I'm just an aspiring collector, you know, of NFT art. Pio's got the sauce here. That, why, what is it with skulls? This looks so good, man. Pio jumping on eBay. I like that. This is how he does it. Simultaneously, you know, eBay with the fine art plays. You're just dumping it over there. I'll sell you this Polaroid for $10.
I mean, it would be insanely funny if I have like four or five pieces from him. I actually have like one or two that I have to get framed that I haven't even framed yet. And the idea, like, it would be so funny if I literally just had, I just had his pieces on the internet. This is also another one. Mr. Long said it was just me the whole, like, this is just my work. And I'm like, yo, look at how good this Tibetan guy that lives in Italy.
It was Pio all along. The epic ending to the story, for sure. People want to know if I'm wearing pants. It's too hard to see, but I am wearing pants, guys. But just my regular black jeans. So, yes, that just to answer your question, there have been multiple comments in the thread. I am wearing pants, everyone. So, you know, just chill out. Oh, man, this is cool.
My guy Dogpo going full anon here, being like, you can't even see what I look like, man. You know, like Miguel said, I'm about to give a link to buy merch.
He's got the whole like shtick ready to go for the NFT stuff. Just stay anon, be mysterious. This is great, man. I mean, no, this is cool. This is awesome.
Yeah. And the idea, I don't know why, it's just so funny to me, the idea that I'm pumping like the bag of like five photo prints I got for like $120 probably. Like that I just have physically, like, yeah, that we're getting that number up, like the bag's being pumped.
We're gonna pump that to the moon, everybody. That's the beauty of the, you know, the NFT space is like, you actually do see, I think there's a lot of authenticity in it, because like there's no illiquidity to a lot of these things. Like, you have a totally transparent marketplace that's just going off at all times, and things are priced as they're priced. Hard to do that in the art world, you know, with Pio's prints there. Like, you probably have no idea what they're worth at this point, do you? Like, everything, you have to like look at what like last sold and maybe think, is this similar to that? Like, I don't know.
I just don't think that the market for that's like making it in that market. Like, look, his name is Dogpo Lobsang. I know his name. People that have, he did it right on Bedford Ave in Williamsburg. So a lot of humans saw the work. You know what I mean? I don't know how many sales he makes a day when he was doing that. I don't even know if he's in New York right now. He might literally just be in Italy doing his thing. The thing is like, there's no market for like specific artist number one, even though you saw he's insanely talented and I'm assuming original. Maybe there's another Polaroid photographer out there that's shooting the same exact shit and he's copying him. I would find that incredibly hard to believe. But there's no market for that because you have to be curated at that point. A big, like Christie's would have to auction one of his things. Then all of a sudden, Dagpo Lobsang is the biggest thing in the space, blah, blah, blah. So I just think it's different. That's one thing that NFTs did for artists when you think about it, that really is a big deal and is really important and can't be slept on.
Absolutely. But that's all I got, man. That's it. That's it for today. We've been rolling. We've been opining on art for far too long.
So, it was good.
You know, it was great.
We did almost an hour. That's crazy. look, I was not, someone in the Discord put like that I was like shitting on Grant Young. Yeah, right. Okay. He's like one of the rising stars.
Guys,
was,
take a seat. Just relax.
Just
relax.
We're
not trying to crap on any artist. Not
just
a single
relax.
One.
But I do know that that people are not going to care nearly as much as if I talked about a random 10K collection and said that it wasn't good because people get much more fired up about that.
At least we didn't talk about 10K TF, everybody. We did it.
Yo, and actually to wrap up Node Mode, let's talk about other deed in 10K
TF. Talk about combat crates or whatever they're called.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, subscribe to the channel, follow Node on Twitter, support Node if you guys enjoy the content. I'm excited for Node to have his own kind of show here one day a week. And check it out on Apple Podcasts if you want to listen to it. It's under the Nifty umbrella, but if things go well, if we keep doing the Node thing, Node Mode, then we will definitely break it out into its own podcast. And hopefully we can get some cool guests on this show that we wouldn't get on the normal show. Just give us your feedback in general. Let us know what you think of this thing. And I'm really excited about it. I like shiny new things, and Node Mode, the podcast, is a shiny new thing with my mustached pal Node here. Node, anything to wrap up with?
No, man. Love you all. Again, I'm wide open to feedback. We just want to make this informative and fun for everybody. So thanks for joining us. Peace out.
Absolutely. See you guys next time. Node Mode. And yes, yo, I know my audio is messed up. It will never be messed up again because I figured out it's because of Google Chrome. And when I use Firefox, the audio is not a problem. You will see me Firefoxing next time. This is the last time that the audio is going to be bad. I promise. Thank you, guys. See you guys later.